with nowhere to go. I don't think anybody in this room is going to end up there. But I do know that to be a man means that you need to take responsibility for your actions. So you can't blame other people for your mistakes. And you can't point fingers. If only my dad had been. If only my mom. I wish it was. No. A real man takes responsibility and says, look, if I'm in a mess, it's because I got myself in a mess. And if I'm in a mess, me and Jesus are going to get me out of this mess. You see, to be responsible is to be a man. It's the difference between a man and a boy. As a boy, expect his mom to clean up after him. A boy will go to school and, you know, I mean, if he's a little one, then he takes a poop, his mom wipes his butt, right? But a man, well, a man wipes his own butt. He takes responsibility for his own. Amen. All right. Unless you're like really, really old, but that's a different story. But we need to be responsible because everything we do affects somebody else. In Proverbs, it says this. These are the words of King Lemuel, the utterance that his mom told him. His mom taught him these lessons and said, what, my son? Son of my womb, son of my vows, do not give your strength to woman. And all the men said, amen. Trust me, you better say amen. Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. I love this verse, and I think I'll talk about it every time I think about what it means to be a man, this passage. A man makes decisions that won't destroy him. He's responsible. It's not for kings, Lemuel, to drink wine. It's not for princes to have intoxicating drink, to do things that make them make bad decisions, whether that be weed, acid, whether it be drugs, whether it be things that make you make bad decisions. Right there, the Bible says, not for a prince, a man, to take intoxicating drink, lest they forget. They drink and forget the law. They pervert justice of all the people afflicted. Strong drink, these things are for people who are dying. Wine for those who are bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty because he's bitter. Remember his misery no more. He says, men, this is what you need to do. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Men, open your mouth to judge rightly, to plead the cause of the poor. See, as a man, our job is to provide and to protect. And the decisions we make will either provide and protect people, whether it be your family, your little brother and sister, maybe a girlfriend, a wife one day, or it's going to expose people and hurt people. You know, sometimes it's simple to ask a girl for a picture. Take a quick picture and then text it to me, send it to me, snap it to me, whatever the case is. Because, you know, you like her, and she's fine, and she's cute, and, well, you're curious. Send me a picture. But you see, those decisions are not for a man. Those decisions do not provide or protect that girl. You know, just a week ago, a man was sentenced 18 years in prison because his job was to take these pictures of ex-girlfriends and put them online without the girl's permission. He got 18 years in prison for that. Why? Because he wasn't providing. He wasn't protecting. See, some things are none of our business. Bible says, don't give your strength to women. Look, if you're chasing girls, hey, it's okay to like girls. It's okay to want a girlfriend. I get it. They're cute. They smell nice. Their hair, whatever, you know? I get it. But your strength isn't to be given for these things. It's to do things that provide and protect people. Whether it's your studies, whether it's your family, whether it's your future. Look, guys, you need to be responsible. You know, how do you treat girls? How do you view them? Are they just a bunch of body parts, or are they a heart that Jesus Christ died for? You know, when it comes to these things, right now, it's okay to, you know, play video games for 6, 7, 8 hours a day, but one day, the time's going to come where we need to grow up and be responsible for our lives, for whether it's college, whether it's a dream God's put in your heart. You know, does anybody want to know how to get a girlfriend? I mean, if you don't, that's fine. We'll move on. Okay. Some people in this room, okay, maybe you're thinking, Pastor Rich, I already got a girlfriend. No, I mean like a real girlfriend. Like a woman. Okay? Because I know a ton of women that go to this church that need boyfriends. All right? But you know why? You know why they don't have boyfriends? because they're shooting guys down left and right. I mean, seriously, they're like, and it's not like dudes aren't asking them out. They're just dropping them. They're dropping them left and right. And the reason is this, is because they can't find a man they want to date. And the reason they can't find a man they want to date is because these guys ask them out are busters. They're having a hard time with a job. They don't go to school. They don't have a dream. Look, men, you know the most attractive thing a man can have is not your biceps or your pectorals. Because I know, I mean, look, I know you want to do the thing where you make your pectorals dance and stuff like that, but that's not what it's going to take. The thing that's most attractive to a woman is a dream. A man with a dream. A man with a vision. Someone that's going somewhere in life is one of the things. Look, I have two sisters-in-law, and they are the pickiest women in the world. They're so stinking picky. I mean, one of them was being pursued by, like, a doctor and, like, a biz. I'm like, what is, come on, you got to say yes to somebody, right? But she's holding out for a man with a dream that's bigger than hers. These guys aren't dreaming big enough. I mean, what do you want to do with your life? No pressure. Because if it's hang out, and if it's smoking weed, and if it's, you know, if it's just messing around, look, dude, that's not cute. Like, sure, it might be cute for a little bit, but that's not, man, that is not attractive. And the people that it does attract, oh no, man, you don't want that kind of woman, because she's not going anywhere either. What's the biggest dream you have in your heart? Because God's called you to be a man who leads a family. Don't give your strength to women. Give your strength to the dreams and the work God's put in your heart. And when you do that, the things that you want in life will chase you. You won't have to chase them. You don't have to end up maybe like your parents or your grandparents. Look, I want to do better than my family did, just like I want my kids to do better than I did. That's the bottom line. Look, wine, drink, you know, sleeping around, all that kind of stuff, that's not for kings and princes. It's not. It's for men who are dying. It's for men that have nothing to live for. God has bigger things in store for you than these things. So be responsible. Don't blame anybody else for your mistakes. Take your lumps, stand up, and be a man that knows that every decision you make is going to affect somebody else's life. And that's what I got today from God for you guys. Let's give God a praise. Hey, let me get my boys up here. Pastor Antonio, whatever, I don't care. Get up here, Pastor Antonio. And then Mark, Sal, the crew, get up here. Get the stools up here. And if you guys had any, I know you guys already had some questions about that, but I got some questions. Oh, are they up here? No, I don't. Yeah, put them down here because we just got the middle rolls right here. Right here. Ugh. We got a little bit of time left. But I want to ask these guys some questions too. And maybe I'll throw you under the bus too. Maybe I'll ask you some questions too, Tony.
Sounds good. Oh, wow. Hey.
Yeah. Hey, does everybody know Tony right here?
What up? What up?
Rev Tony. He's part of the Shift Leadership. As we said, a good friend of mine. We got Mark Polo here. You guys know Mark?
What up?
You guys know Sal over there on the side?
What's up, guys?
Was there a couple weeks ago, him and Jess, his lovely wife. Nice. Okay. There you go. I'll hand that over to you, sir. All texting is anonymous, so, you know, whatever. But, hey, I wanted to ask you guys some questions here. I wanted to ask them two questions. The first one was, what was the first question I asked them? What separates a man from a boy? That was a good one right there.
Go ahead, man.
No,
yeah,
remember the question.
Sal, Mark.
I forgot about it.
Mark, your mic's working right now.
Can you hear me?
Mark, what separates a man from a boy? What's your definition?
My definition, what separates a boy from a man is, I had it off the top of my head, but...
Dang.
Someone who... I want to say somebody who... Somebody who... no laughing. Somebody who... a boy and a man... Yeah, my mind went blank.
Sal, what's a boy? What's the difference between a boy and a man, Sal?
I think Mark hit it right on the head right there. Can you hear me?
You guys, yeah,
hear
we
me
got
today?
You, bro.
Can you hear me better? Yeah.
Man, I think I definitely agree with Pastor Richard about everything he said, but I also want to add sacrifice
something.
For sure. A guy, somebody who sacrifices as opposed to being selfish, because it's really easy to be selfish. I mean, it's so easy to do what you want, what's best for you. You know, growing up, I saw my dad being very, very sacrificial. He didn't have very many hobbies. He wasn't about buying cool things. He wasn't out with his friends. He was all about five kids and his wife.
Dang.
And he worked super hard to provide for us, where he could have easily been a dog and just left us and did his own thing and been like, you know what? Screw you guys. But I definitely think what separates a boy from a man is actions, you know, your mind. It really starts up here. Definitely.
Mark, what you got, man?
Okay. I guess me and Sal kind of grew up in the same household because I had... I was a child of six. Okay.
Dang.
So there were six of us. And my pops, just like his pops, sacrificed a lot. He was working. I rarely got to see him. But he was working and sacrificing himself to support his family. Now, I say it like that because I have brothers who, I don't want to say they're not a man, but then it's like, you know, they go out and they sleep around and they have like all these kids with different women. And it's like, are you serious, bro? You're just going to leave that kid? You know, they'll get the girl pregnant and stuff like that. And to me, that's where my pops told me, don't be like your brothers. Don't be like them. Be a man who's going to take care of your family, who's going to be there for your kid. Be that man. Sacrifice for them. And that's the way that I was brought up. My brothers went completely opposite, but, you know, they're trying, though.
Well, I mean, you consider yourself a man, I would assume, right, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Brother,
yes.
You a man.
Heck yeah.
You a man. Hey, but
yeah.
So when did you realize in life, when did you think, oh, man, snaps, I mean, this is real. I'm a man. I'm no longer a boy. What was that moment? Do you remember the moment where you're like, this is real. I'm no longer a boy anymore?
When I started my career, basically, or when I started pursuing my career, I had to make a choice. Still live off of mommy and daddy's money, have them, like you were saying earlier, wipe your butt. Or start doing your own stuff, man. Stop living off of mom and dad's stuff. You know, you're a man. You're transitioning. Have that dream. And dream, and when you dream it, dream big. Because I'll say, you know, when I got with Andrea, I had a career job. Okay, I'm an IT specialist. She had no clue what the heck that was. But the reason why she fell in love with me was because I told her that I wanted to go after God's heart. And because
That's
I wanted
cool.
to go after God's heart, that stuck. And there you go. And that's, she straight out told me, that's what made me fall in love with you.
Aww.
I was like, dang, girl,
Aww.
What's up?
What's up, Sal? When did you realize that you had made the transition from boy to man?
Man, yeah, I was probably 19, and that year I grew up really fast. I was raised in a really sheltered house. Had everything handed to me. My job was going to school, and that was it.
Dang.
Didn't have to worry about a whole lot. You know, like a lot of you young guys right now, you know? And then life happened really fast, but it was my own fault. So I thought it was a man, and my dad kicked me out. He said, okay, you think you're a man? Let's see what you got.
You got kicked out?
Got kicked out. I was 19,
Dang.
Which is not like 13. But that's how sheltered I was. But anyhow, I grew up pretty fast, and I started paying my own. Man, I had to get a full, you know, a job, an apartment, pay my bills. You guys, you know, we take it for granted. I sure did back then. But my mentality totally changed. I had to take care of myself. My whole life prior to that, everything was I was taken care of. But anyhow, my mind, I had to really grow up a lot. I went through a lot of stuff that year. But definitely my mentality grew and or changed, and I saw myself growing as a man. Like, man, I have to do this. It's either fight or flight. So I remember that year specifically, man, it was like my toughest year. It was like a full, like, wake-up call for me for sure. So, yeah.
Dang. That's cool. So when you began your career, Mark, and then when you had to live on your own and you were responsible for yourself, doing that sacrifice. That's cool. Tony, man, what you got for us over here? I mean, do you have anything to add into this as far as being a man or a boy before we jump into these questions?
Can you give me the I was reviewing
No, you're
question.
Fine.
What was the first
question? The first question was, what's the difference between a man and a boy?
Okay. You know, in a short answer, I would guess I would say it has nothing to do physically as much as it's do, like Sal said, with action. Now your actions no longer become about what can, how can I just make my life better, but how can I make an impact? So I think there's a transition in your mindset, because it doesn't mean you stop going after things that will help you, because you all know, all these men up here know, and even our youth workers, even with the family, you have to think about what will help me so I can help my family. But there's the intent there behind it. Just how can I help me look better? When you're a boy, you know, I want to look fresh for me so I can get girls. I got to do this. I got to have the best job. I got to have the best car for me. Whereas when you become a man, you understand that even if you don't have a family or a wife, you can be a man because you're understanding the impact that you might have. Because, you know, we have single youth workers here that are figuring out, I want to give back. I want to serve. I want to leave a legacy. So, again, that's it doesn't mean you have a family. It doesn't have a wife or kids, because there's a season for that. But now you're thinking about no longer just me. How can I, even if it's just like I want to be a better son to my parents,
that's good.
A man, you know, that's the transition.
I think about that. I want to be a good son to my mom.
Right. We want to be good kids.
Hey, what you got for us right here? Because
all right, so we got some good questions.
Now, you got some interesting questions here. What's up? What do you got here?
We have a couple good questions. One that's really common, because, you know, we get the idea of machismo and being a man. So the question is, is it okay to still be affectionate to our girlfriends? Like, does that make me less of a man? Does that make me less cool, less down if I'm affectionate? Now, I'm assuming by affectionate, we still have to, you know, because affectionate between me and my wife is different than what is probably okay between affectionate between maybe a junior high or high school relationship. But affection as far as, there was a clarity, kind of just showing how you feel, or maybe even talking how you feel, you know, because I'm like, you don't want to look like, you know, you're soft or whatever, because you might hold hands with your girl, or you talk nice or sweet to her. Other dudes be like, I don't know if you guys still use this term, but I remember when I was in school.
Oh, no.
people be like, so if you're hanging out with your boys or whatever, right? And then you get one of your friends gets a call from this girl, and he walks off. Yeah, what's up, girl? And the other dudes are like, oh yeah, he's over there cupcaking. So you didn't want to be that dude. You know, you want to be like, all right, girl, I'm with my boys. Don't call me back. You know, like, so I guess maybe the question is, how do I still be cool when maybe I'm still doing affection? Now, again, because I know there's two parts, because, you know, these aren't their wives.
This is the longest setup for a question I've ever heard.
So go ahead.
Mark, you want to answer this question?
Sure.
Is it okay to be affectionate?
Yeah, affection.
And then doing it and still being...
Right. Keeping the manliness.
Manly.
Yes. It's okay. Personally, for me, it's okay to be affectionate. Show your girl some love. Because if you're not, someone else is.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Dang. Whoa, that escalated really quickly.
Woo. I'm just saying.
Whoa.
Because, okay, like, me and Drea, like, I called her out from the get-go. Hey, I'm going to marry that girl. Everybody back up.
He's a freak.
I was, she was scared and afraid. She
stalker
called.
Status.
Yeah.
Stalker status.
But it was just like, hey, you know what? I didn't really mean it like that, but.
No, I'm just kidding.
Nah, you know, it's okay. I mean, for a girlfriend, I mean, you know, be affectionate. You know, they're women. You know, you have to, you know, treat them right. But, you know, have limits.
Oh, there you go.
Have limits.
Good word.
Because, say, like, I mean, anybody could chill at home. But what happens when the parents gone? You know what I'm saying? Have limits to where it's not in that situation, where you guys are not put in that situation.
Yeah.
Have godly boundaries. And if she's a woman of God and you're a man of God, you guys will know that situation will go into play. You guys will keep that boundary. You guys will keep all that stuff off limits.
I'd say, you know.
That's good.
Thank you, Martha. Yeah. I'd say keep your. I think personally, I'm a very affectionate man, because I love I love to cuddle.
He has three kids, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, gentlemen.
This guy. I love to cuddle. The holding hand things, I like that. You know, so sue me, right? Whatever, man. I'm the affectionate one in between me and Michelle, and she's kind of like, hey, guys,
same here.
You know?
Same yeah. here.
And,
me and Jared. Did
okay, thank you. I was, for life.
No, that's I right. said I'm kind of flipped the other way.
Oh, never mind. Oh.
She's so I'm right there with you.
Hey, me.
Give me some air, bro.
Okay. But that's me. But I'd say this is I think it's okay to be affectionate because that's not feminine to be affectionate. But I would say this is keep it age appropriate and level appropriate. Look, if you're like 13, you are not getting married anytime soon. So don't act like it.
Yeah.
The affection you would show a girlfriend if you're allowed to date at 13 would be different than a 16 or a 17 or 18 or a 23-year-old.
Right.
Or someone who's engaged. Like, you know, you shouldn't be being kissing up on your girl. You're going to get yourself in trouble real quick, okay? Yeah. The affection maybe it's holding hands or it's getting her gifts or it's just, you know, I mean, it's saying cute things or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm not saying to say cute things in front of the dudes and stuff like that. That's different, but whatever. You know, keep it age appropriate. Because if you're alone with her and you're holding hands, you guys start getting real close and you're making out and it's going to go get real ugly real quick and you are going to end up in a place that you should not be with your girl. And you're no longer being affectionate, you're stealing from her because you're taking something that does not belong to you.
Yeah.
Whether that's that girl's innocence, whether it's, you know, going physically too far with her. Okay, God has put boundaries on those things and, you know, sex is saved for marriage. Okay, that type of activity is saved for marriage. Okay, not before, not while you're engaged, but in a committed lifelong marriage relationship. So the affection stops when it begins to get that point. So that's what I would definitely say. Keep it age appropriate. Watch your boundaries, like Mark said. And if you really want to appreciate your girl, you're not gonna be embarrassed about her.
Right.
So if you're embarrassed about your girl in front of your dudes, then you got problems, man. You're not ready for a girlfriend. If you're embarrassed by your girlfriend having a girlfriend, then you're not ready for a girlfriend. So just cut it and wait till you're more manly.
All right, let's. I have another question. This would be a real quick one. So just
yeah,
it's a quick one. I think you know whoever wants to take this one, just to kind of get it out of the way. What do you do if you're bored of your girlfriend?
Oh, easy.
Oh,
easy.
Go ahead, Sal.
You said a real quick one.
You said real quick, dumper.
Right, move on, right?
Honestly, you're not doing anyone a favor. If you're not interested in that girl, what are you doing? You're wasting your time, really. So you shouldn't be dating until you're serious anyhow. So
right.
I say just be single. What's the purpose of that? You're just trying to look cool in front of your friends or you're just leading a girl on. You're going to end up hurting her.
That's a good point right there. That's a good point right there.
Cool.
Don't lead a girl on.
I know a lot of times we want to look cool in front of our friends and trying to impress them, but really that's not cool when you're hurting a girl, you know?
Yeah, you don't want a girlfriend just to have a girlfriend.
No, that's just dumb.
That's not. You don't need a placeholder.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't treat it. Because, you know, that girl's too, I mean, if that girl's not for you, that girl's for somebody, and you don't want to hurt her heart.
Yeah.
Because, that, like I said, that heart doesn't belong to you. And, you know, look, if you're young and you're allowed to and you choose to date, if your parents are cool with it, all that kind of stuff, then, you know, what's the point of dating? Right, what's the point of dating? Like, seriously, it's to get to know people. Do I like this kind of girl? Do I like girls with curly hair or straight hair? Do I like girls that are funny or girls that are serious? And if you find that you are beginning to get to know a girl and you can't be friends with her and enjoy her presence, then, you know, you need to move on. Hey, you're a really great person, but you know what? You're nice, you're great, you're awesome, you're wonderful, but you know what? This is not working for us. There you go.
I remember real quick, I was dating a girl right before I started dating my wife, but believe it or not, this is like when he talked, really, not like a girlfriend.
It was a talk.
But we didn't even kiss because what was the point of that? And I still know her to this day, so how awkward, you know, it would have been pointless for me to have stolen that from this girl.
That's
she
cool.
was a good, good girl. And I was like, I'm not going to kiss her unless I'm dead serious about this and really going to pursue this as a real relationship because I don't want to hurt her.
That's
you know,
cool.
So it's crazy because we both liked each other. We sure wanted to kiss. You know, we're both attracted to each other. We're human. But I didn't even kiss her. We didn't even cross that line. And I really thank God that we didn't, because it would have been super awkward. I would have hurt her, bottom line, you know. And
it would have made the breakup harder.
Exactly.
You chose not to take advantage of her.
Exactly. That's cool. Easily.
That's cool. Good. Tony, what you got, man?
Let's see. I got another question. I want to try to get through as many as possible. Are you guys enjoying yourselves so far? These are some good responses. I think these are real questions.
They're your questions. They're your questions.
These are real questions, and I think just know you're not the only one thinking these things. And so
it's true.
What are some tips for getting through the social aspect of high school? Now, obviously, that is really ambiguous, but we can understand what that might be, whether it goes from bullying to confidence in talking to girls, how to deal with other dudes, you know, whatever it might be. Just maybe if everyone can just give one tip that you would find helpful or would have found helpful.
Jump in, Steph.
Be yourself, man. Don't be a follower. Be a leader, dude. Don't be a follower. The world has way, way, way too many followers, dude. God has called you individually to be a leader. You know, we influence so many people that you don't even know. You could be walking and you have so much impact on people that you don't even know. God has called you guys individually as men of God especially, to be leaders, dude. And don't be a follower. It's so easy to be a bully, a little player, a punk, really. God's called you to be a leader, seriously.
Exactly. Sal said everything, basically.
Sorry.
That leader. No, it's good. Be that leader. I mean, because I remember I used to be a bully without even knowing it.
Me too.
I was a bully, not even knowing it, picking on people that were, you know, didn't look like me or small or big. It didn't matter if they were big. I didn't even know. But I was doing it because I was making fun of them, and people expected me to crack jokes on them. And I hurt people. So, I mean, you know, be yourself. Don't be somebody who the world wants you to be.
Just real quick, I'd say be a man that makes the right decision, not the easy decision. And because sometimes the hardest things to do are the right things to do, and you can't shortcut. You can't shortcut life.
It's true.
If you do, you get the things you don't want. So I'd say make the right decisions, don't make the easy decisions. And that means like friends, schooling, all that kind of stuff.
That's good. That's good. All right, let's go. Next question.
We got time maybe for one or two more quick questions.
Okay. Let's go with this one. I have a friend who he wants to be a Christian, but he's in a relationship with a girl who is really pushing him towards having sex. So he obviously gets caught in the temptation of all that. And, you know, what can I do as his friend to encourage him? Now, I heard a lot of chuckles there because it's like, most people are like, I want that girl. You know, let's be real, right?
Well, but usually it's reversed.
Right. Yeah.
You think
yeah.
it's the guy pressuring the girl.
So the guy is, you know.
Kudos to you, whoever you are.
The guy is saying, I want to be Christian. I want to do the right thing. But this girl who I care for is like, hey, let's, you know, if she wants to be having sex, what can this guy do from afar? Or what kind of advice can he give to this guy who's in this relationship?
What I gotta say is be that friend who's a man, because it takes a manly man, a real man, to tell somebody about Jesus. And if your friend wants to convert and be a Christian and get saved and come to church, talk to him about it. Tell him what's right, what's wrong, you know, tell him about Jesus, because it does take a man to talk about God. So.
Yeah,
that's good. Just like, Mark said, definitely be an example to that young man, you know, and push him to do the right thing. Pray for him. Prayer seriously is underrated, you know. I still remember to this day, my friends, when I was the one smoking weed and drinking and sleeping around, being dumb, I still remember my friends that were like, Sal, you're better than that, dude. Like, you shouldn't do that, man. I remember, and they're in my wedding. It's funny, man. I remember those friends, and you could be that friend that pushes your friend to not do that stuff, to be better, to bring the best out of somebody.
Can I add just real quick? I, in high school and junior high, I wish I had somebody who told me about Jesus. I wish I had friends that Sal had like that, because I didn't have nobody like that. I didn't. And it wasn't until my brother and my sister-in-law got saved and someone finally told me about Jesus. So if you have the ability to tell somebody, tell them.
You know, I know what helped me in my walk was I just had people ask me questions. And if you're that friend who has a friend that's being pressured, then just ask questions. Hey, man, how's it going? How's your relationship? Are you guys keeping things pure? You know, are you guys holding up your boundaries? You know, I mean, and you just, sometimes if you know somebody's asking you questions, you're going to make the right decisions. Like, man, I don't want to tell him. I don't want to disappoint them. You know, you hold them accountable. So just by keeping the conversation alive, ask them questions. How is your relationship? Is the relationship going to work? Is it healthy? You know, you ask them the questions that are the hard questions that he needs to answer. And I think that's how you be a real friend to somebody.
Yeah.
We got time for one quick one, then we're done.
All right. Let's see here.
Make it good.
How do you know if she's the one, considering that you're both chasing Jesus? Now, if I could just chime in really quickly first.
Yes, yes.
I think in kind of running through the theme that we've been talking about, you know, I think the oldest someone might be here is, you know, senior year in high school, so maybe 17, 18 years old. The problem is that I see with this generation oftentimes, I mean, starting as young as in middle school, because I substitute in the San Bernardino School District. So I see as early in the junior highs, man, I call it the Twilight problem. Twilight made everyone, like, want to be, like, madly in love, like, sprung, like, off the bat. We're meant for each other at 13 years old, 14 years old. And so the problem that can happen, I know, Pastor Richard, you got married young, so you have extra insight on this. But for the most people, you're not really mature enough to start thinking, like, you're the one for me at 15, 16, even 17, 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So even considering you both love Jesus, mentally are you like, how do you know she's the one? I mean, I would say we'll keep following Jesus and kind of keep that question on the back burner and see what Jesus has for you.
I would say, how do you know that you're the one?
Oh,
I mean, am I the one?
True.
Because I got married when I was 20. I got married when I was 20. I had a job. I had a place to live. I was making good decisions. I had a dream that I was pursuing. So I was the one. I was marryable. I was a good catch, right? So if you're a good catch, then you are ready to have a good catch. Look, if you're not ready, then you don't even ask questions. How do I know she's the one? Because you're not the one.
That's good.
Because she's looking for the one, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Just like you're looking for the one.
That's good.
But if you're not the one for her, then you can't even be asking the question, well, is she the... No, fool. You're not ready. You're not ready, man.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good, Pastor.
So that's what I would say.
Just like the word says, love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love yourself enough to be making these right decisions, line yourself up. Just like Pastor Richard said. He's just literally quoting the word of God. Make yourself ready. And then she'll come. You guys are too young to get word of it getting married anyway.
Yeah.
Too young.
When I was 10th grade, I remember telling my teacher, he was like, what are you going to do when you grow up? And Mr. Wegner back in Sanji. And I was like, oh, you know, I got this girlfriend. We're going to get married. And I was like, but this is like real serious. You know, we're really going to get married and stuff like that. I was like, I just can see the contempt. I can see behind his eyes. He's like, this stupid kid. And, you know, I dated her for 3.5 years. And then we broke up. And I swear, I was going to marry her. I swear I was going to marry her. But no, it didn't happen.
Thank God it didn't happen, too. Right?
Thank God it didn't happen.
Yeah, there you go.
You've been ugly.
To add on, I was engaged before.
Ooh.
What? I was supposed to be married to somebody else. Supposed to be. As the in the world, okay? I was engaged to somebody. We had already started planning a wedding. I thought she was the one. She thought I was the one. We were planning to get married. We started doing all the wedding planning, all that stuff. And then out of the blue, bam, we just got hit. We split everything. It just ended. And it was just like, dang, girl, I thought you was the one. But no, God had a bigger plan for me, and I ended up here at the Rock Church. Then I started serving God. And my heart was after God.
Woo!
And God gave me somebody more, even way beautiful than my last one, who's the most beautiful girl in the world. And she's right in the next room right over there.
Dang.
Yeah.
And we're going on our second kid. Hey. So if you're young and you're thinking, you know, hey, you know, could she be or could he be? Nah, just wait on God. God has the perfect person for you.
There you go. Let's give it for all of our hosts up here, our panel. Hey, if you guys have any questions about this stuff, if your question did not get answered, then all you got to do is hit up any one of us after service, before service, because that's what we're here for. Any one of us, look, guys, you know, any problem you're going through, I'll tell you this, somebody's been through it before. Chances are somebody in this room has been through it before. So you are not alone. The struggle is not one you have to do alone. And you know what? We're all in here together. We're a community, and we're a family. So feel free to talk to any one of us. And we do small groups and stuff like that on Sunday nights, too. So if you guys ever want to have a get into these kind of conversations, too, then you know what? Come check it out. It'll be good stuff. So hit up any one of us. Hey, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up because, like I said, it's a matter of taking responsibility. I'm going to do this real quick, too, is, you know, God has done everything he can to be close to you. God's done everything he can to get you to heaven. And now the ball is in your court. You know, God says this, you draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Why? Because God's already drawn near to you. Now God's waiting for you to make a move. You know, Jesus says this, I'm waiting at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. And I'm waiting for you to let me in. So the question today is, have you let God into your heart? Are you doing things your way or his way? Because I'll tell you this, being good is not good enough. God's not looking for good people. He's looking for people that are committed. But Pastor Richard, I go to church. Hey, God's not looking for people to sit in a church building, listen to some dude talk. That's not what he's looking for. But Pastor Richard, look, I believe in God. Hey, that's cool too, but you know what? So does Satan. Look, if you read the Bible cover to cover, you'd see that the devil and demons believe in Jesus. They're not atheists. They believe in God. So it's not about what you have up here. It's what you've done with this in here. You know, Jesus said if you want to get to heaven, Jesus said if you want to be a Christian, if you want to know what it means to follow me, then you've got to be born again. And that means that you have lived life one way until you've made a decision to turn it around. Jesus said the most important thing God wants is not your butt in a seat. He's not you being nice and having good table manners. He's not in you just knowing a couple things about an old book. It's this. It's loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. And maybe you think you love God, but you need to listen to what God says. He says with everything. So have you given God everything? Because God wants 100% of your heart and 100% of your life. Not you being perfect, but you being committed. So is that you in this place? Are you chasing God or are you chasing something else? Are you living for God or are you living for something? Are you one way at church and another way at home? Look, if you've never made a decision to give God your heart, then today, right now, you need to make a decision. Look, God has done everything he can to get you to heaven, but now it's your choice. God's waiting at your heart for you to let him in. He's not mad at you. God's not disgusted by you. God's not angry at you. No, no, he's just waiting on you. So what are you waiting for? Look, God wants to change your life, but he wants your permission first. So if you're in this place, you need to get right with God. If you're in this place, you need God to change your life. If you're in this place, you know you need God to get a hold of you. You need God to rearrange you. If you know you need God to heal you, if you know you just need to change and give your life to God, you got to forgive you. Then in this place, I want you to make a decision to get your hand up in 1 second, in just a couple seconds, and put it right back down. What? What are you saying? Oh, no. You get your hand up. You're saying this. God, I want you to change my life. I want you to turn it around, and I want you to take it over. I want to be your child. I want to go to heaven. That's what you're saying when you get your hand up. You're saying, I'm choosing God tonight. So if that's you in this place, front to back, side to side, if you need to choose God, if you want to make sure you'd go to heaven, if you need God to change your life, if you want to let him into your heart, if that's you and you've never done this before, then I want you to get your hand up. Maybe you've been playing the church game. You've been messing around. Hey, if you need to give your heart back to God, maybe you've taken it back now. You need to give it back to him. That's you. I want you to get your hand up in this place. Get it up. We're going to pray as simple as that. So if that's you, front to back, side to side, if you need to give your heart to God, you want to make sure you go to heaven, I want you to get your hand up right now on a count of three. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Who in this place needs to get right with God? Who in this place? You know you need to give your heart to God. You need to get right with God. Where are you at? Where are you at? Who needs God to change their life? You want to make sure you're going to go to heaven. Who in this place? It's your choice. Who in this place? Is there anybody here? Hey, I see you, bro, right there. Who else? Anybody else? I saw you put your hands down, bro. You're cool. Anybody else? Anybody else? Last call. We got to shut it down. Anybody else? One dude. All right, let's see. We got a praise. Cool. Hey, cool, man. Let's just everybody stand up real quick. Sal's coming up. Hey, Sal, come on up, man. Here's my guy. I got Sal right here. You know him from the panel. Come on up, dude. I want you to come on up here real quick. Sal's going to pray with you. Come on. Come on up. Yeah, right over here with Sal. Let's give him a big round of applause. Hey, Sal's going to pray with you right over here. Follow him right over here to the left. You'll be good to go. Let's give a big round of applause, man. All right. Hey, any other questions, any comments, man? Let me know. We got your back. There's no question that's off limits or out of bounds, all right? Hey, let's all lift our hands up. Let's pray and dismiss. Father, we thank you for every person in this room. God, we ask you, bless them, lead them, guide them, and guard them. God, we thank you, Lord, for the calling you've given in our lives to be men. So help us to be responsible, men of sacrifice, men that can take care of the dream you've placed inside of our heart, God. Father, as we live this life, we're all believing. We all stand in faith. We give a big shout. We say, the Inland Empire shall be saved. Hey, you guys just missed. You guys chill, hang out. Oh, and then we're doing our commitment services. You guys are heading out. If you guys want a purity ring, you guys want to purchase the purity ring, we got them on sale right out there. I don't know. They're all a different price. We got cheap ones. We got expensive ones. So head on over. Right in the foyer, ask V.